Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 306, part 1, Calmness, part 1. Today is Friday, August 23rd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape is entitled Calmness. But before we start, let's deal with the worriers. Well, I think worry is the most popular form of suicide. We've been ministering on the fruit of the Spirit, and it will kill all the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace. The good temper, the kindliness, the generosity, fidelity, gentleness, which we called adaptability, and self-control. Worry. Oh, how it can destroy the whole day. Well, I yesterday got some kind of a bug, and I couldn't get warm. And I thought, well, now, I've got to get down there tomorrow and minister. I had this bug and I had these blankets on and I had quilts on. And, you know, I had nausea and, if I may use the word, vomiting. And just, oh, boy, I'm not going to make it. But I'm not going to worry about it because I have to make it down there. And so today on the way here, it broke. Ruined my shirt. I sweat all the way here, and it finally broke. So I have learned that you don't worry about it because it impairs your appetite, disturbs your sleep, and you don't sleep all night, and then the alarm clock rings, and then Satan says, okay, now you can go to sleep. And there's a lot of people like that. They get so depressed, and they sleep the whole day away. Makes their respiration irregular. Gets them sick. Irritates their disposition and they can't seem to get along with anybody. So you see, worry kills all of the things we've been talking about in the last 9 weeks. It kills the love, because you can't love if you're a big worrier. It kills the joy. You're too busy worrying to have any kind of joy. You have no peace, and your temper is bad. You can't be kind, and so, see, it works against you. Warps your character. Finally, you're the type of person that no one can get along with. Then it starts to weaken your mind. And I speak of this because I have ministered along these lines of deliverance for many years. It also starts to stimulate disease. Saps all your body health and all your strength. And in some cases, causes death. I think in many instances that should be on the death certificate. Died of worry. There's a lot of people walking around like that, and even the young people, even you young guys sitting out there right now, you can worry just as much as anybody else. I think it's so important to minister to young people that they don't have to go through life like that. Instead of having a flannel board Jesus, and you move Jesus, oh, here goes Jesus, he's walking down the path, and then just move him a little more. No. Not talking about a flannel board or a chalk drawing. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, alive, living Savior that says, worry not. Because if you want to worry like that, it's going to cause all kinds of things to go wrong with you. And sometimes the kids pick that right up off their parents. I think it's so important in this day and age, and that's why there is a lot of drugs, and there's a lot of alcohol, and there's a whole lot of things going on right now, because people are worried. So worry is a mental poison. But work is a mental food. One of the very best ways of overcoming worry is to go to work. I all last week and the week before ministered to a young man that did this, all this painting on the back here, and did all the painting outside there and up into the third story up in there, and came in and was so confused because of worry. But he did all that out there in that back and all the way down, and when he came in, he was so confused with worry, he couldn't get it together. Says, now you're going to put the dark blue on the top, and the light blue is going to go right below on the walls. Now you want the dark blue up there and the light blue down there, and on and on and on. And the confusion was there, and his mind wasn't here because he's too busy worrying about things. So I thought, well, I'm going to stay right with this young man until he stops worrying. So about every 10 minutes I'd come up, and every 10 minutes I'd come up. Well, it got to the point where the guy had sarcasm, started getting back his old nature again. I think that's good. You know what I mean? He wasn't just sort of apologizing for being alive. I'm sorry I'm alive. I'm sorry I'm breathing. He started to get a little sarcasm, a little humor. And he left here, and he's out now, be looking for a job. Because he learned how to overcome worry by going to work. Oh, how we need to keep ourselves busy and go to work. You get a little bit of time, and you get a little something, about us. We get a little bit of time, and we don't have to do with ourselves. We start to worry. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know, huh? And you young people sitting right here, we ministered on it Friday night, we talked about struggles. Hey, just right now, set in your mind, you are not, well, just get it going. At least get the thought to enter in. It'll have to develop. Not to get into a whole lot of worry. See, some of it, sometimes you don't do your homework. Well, you better worry. You bring it on yourselves. Okay? When you don't do what you're supposed to do, sometimes you bring those things on yourselves. Are you hearing this? But it seems like Wherever that you may go, there are people that are worrying. And you can see it on their faces. How many in here know what I'm talking about? Worrying. Myself. Coming here, boy, I hope my legs don't give out. Well, I thought I'm not going to worry about it, because if they give out, well, then I'll have to work it into my ministry somehow. Are you hearing this? And even right now, a little bit dizzy. Oh, well, yes, don't say anything about that now. No. I said worry is mental poison. But work is mental food. Get busy. Give over all of your guilt. So many ministries, the legal ones. Lay this guilt on people. So they're walking around, they're worried all the time. They don't know that the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of their sins. And like Debbie said, unconditional mercy endures forever. You have to start to give over all of your fear. And learn calmness. Learn it. Start to understand that it does you no good to sit around worrying. And if there's one thing that I've learned being down here in a mission ministry with no money at all, is that I must remain calm as much as is within me. That I can't afford to start to worry about things. I've also learned that worry is the forethought, let's say worrying about the future, gone to seed. Why is that? Don't you have enough to worry about right now and you have to plant seeds for the future? You listening on the radio? And so then I was thinking about it and I thought, well, worry is the discounting of all possible future sorrows so that you may have present misery and just be really miserable. There's more coming your way. Don't treat your present sorrow like that's the only one you're going to have. There will be more coming, but don't worry about them ahead of time. In other words, recognize that life is a struggle. And what else would you do anyway if you weren't in the struggle? Do you have something better to do? Oh, I'm so tired. Life is such a struggle. All life is a struggle. Struggle out of the womb. You struggle in your dirty diapers. Mother has to struggle with you getting him off. It's a struggle. But what would life be without the struggle? Without the challenges? Without the going for it? Yeah, worry is the father of insomnia. Worry is the dominance of the mind by a single, but very vague, restless, unsatisfied, fearing, and fearful idea. And you really don't know what it contains. You just got that nagging sort of fearfulness and worry. And so your whole day can be taken up by worry. Whole day, you can't function right. Well, how do you cure it? By being your own physician. Recognizing the problem and dealing with it and knowing that life is a struggle. Why is it that people hate that word struggle? Friday I said that Paul recognized it was a struggle. Either he had you in the arena or boxing, or running a race. Yeah, all life is struggling. And then realize that your worrying is pointless. Find someone to be kind to. When you start to think about yourself, well, get your mind off yourself and get your mind, have the mind of Christ and start thinking about somebody else. Are you hearing this? And usually the one time that man cannot afford to worry is when he does. When bills are due. When things are seemingly going down, don't pick that time to worry. Now is the time to develop calmness. It's getting kind of quiet on the radio because, see, sometimes when you hit home, it causes a sort of a calmness. That's good. It's called deliverance. It's called recognizing the problem at hand. But anyway, this is where the Holy Spirit is so precious. And he gives us the gifts, peace, calmness, self-control, adaptability. We're able to adapt to the conditions at hand. Well, Friday I ministered on self-control. And like I said, just to accept life as a struggle. You thinking about something you have to do Monday? Well, hey, praise God that you're going to have a struggle Monday. That's what keeps you going. That's what gives you that tension in your life. And also that self-control that we have is through Christ, not your own self-control. I can do, and this is talking about yourself, I can have self-control through Christ. I can do all things well through Christ. And so then the Holy Spirit brings us calmness. And I think to stand in the end of this end age, people are going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit like never before. Because the Holy Spirit will cleanse us from inner division. And I'm talking between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. These two minds, under his cleansing and control, become one mind. Did you ever hear someone say, I have a half a mind to do this or that? Where's the other half? Well, I think two is company and three is a crowd. So you need to get the two minds together, the subconscious and the conscious, and that's one. And then let Jesus work it out. So there's only two. Jesus leading you. Having, it says, the mind of Christ. Being led, it says, by the Spirit. And oh, if there ever was a time that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, it is right now. And it says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Well, what is all truth? Do you love Jesus with all your heart and mind and soul? Well, that's the truth. That's a commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love Him above all else. That is going to come home. All the words right now of the Bible are going to come home. And you're going to have to live them. And you're not going to be able to live them without the movement of the Holy Spirit. There's so much out there right now. So much division out there. And so much offness. Prophesying over one another. having instant visions over one another? And does it make people any happier or cause them to worry less? Not at all. It's something you have to seek on your own. Someone can't give that to you. Oh, I'm going to give you a word. Well, people have given me a word all of my life, it seems like. Several hand signals also, if you get what I mean. But there's so much offness out there. So we want to go for the easy way, and we want to get out of the struggle and have somebody tell us, this is the way it's going to be. Calm down and everything will be all right. No. It has to be you seeking the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to change you and no one else. And so the mind of Christ takes over the two self-centered minds, and they are self-centered, aren't they? What's mostly on people's minds? Themselves. Their hair or lack of hair. Their looks. Their progress, their friends, all things to worry about. If you're all tied up in your looks, well, forget it. You're going to lose them. Believe me. Huh? All things to worry about, that self-centeredness. That worrying about your reputation and how people take you and how you, your looks. And so when these two minds come together in a single purpose under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then our energies aren't scattered and out of control. And you know something? You go to God's beauty parlor. Yeah. When you have that one mind and you have that peace, it looks sort of like a pregnant woman. You never notice they just look, they get a glow about them. I think it's because they're not concerned about what they look like anymore. Wouldn't do them any good anyway. And they just give it over. I'm pregnant and I'm going to have a baby. And they start thinking about this baby. And they get their mind off of themselves. And they go to these grunt and groan classes or whatever they go to nowadays. Now, that's all right. I think that's all right. But it gets their mind off of themselves. Now, there's a lot of gals who get married and they're just spoiled brats. Okay? Until they get a couple of their own. They see what they are. Are you hearing this? They are spoiled brats. And they turn out to be the best mothers. Because they see themselves in their children. It's pretty awesome sometimes. Like this young girl told me, totally awesome, dude. Are you hearing this? Oh, how we need to get our minds off from ourselves. Doesn't it cause you to worry? Doesn't it make you miserable? But why continue? And that's why people that are older, when they don't have anything to, you know, I mean, they don't have to worry anymore about what they look like so much, and they get sort of a calmness, you can have that right now. You young people right there can have that right now, calmness. So that your energies aren't scattered, I said, out of control. Years ago, I ministered on self-control. Just like I did Friday night. Control through the Spirit. Thinking back on my own life when I had no control, I mean, I always blamed it on my car to pull over to the liquor establishments. The wheels were something wrong. They just pull right over there every night. I couldn't make it by there. But anyway, when I ministered on this years ago, on self-control, I was severely tested and tried on that word. You know what? I found out that my corpse was very much alive in that area. What was the result then? More seeking. More seeking Jesus, more seeking the Holy Spirit, more humbling, more asking, more seeking, more knocking, more prayer. The Lord showed me that many people are wasting energies, having a sort of a civil war between the conscious southern states of self and the subconscious northern states of self. And that we need to bear a cross daily. We need something to do. We need a burden. We're so afraid of burdens. No, you need a burden. What if you don't have a burden? What are you going to do? Just sit down and worry? And like I said, it's very vague. You really don't know what it's all about. It gets in your gut, and you get queasy in your gut, and you're a mess. You need a load. You need a burden. You need struggle. Are you hearing this? No, we need to die daily. And people will help you do that, don't you know? It's great. God's little helpers will help you die daily. If you get into doing anything for Jesus constructive, they will help you to die daily. Well, it's a blessing in disguise to be sure, but it's still a blessing. You have to die to hurt feelings, to being wounded in the house of your friends, and you have to die to those things. Well, then you don't have to worry about them if you're dead to them, do you? No, we can have a heart at leisure from itself and its conflicts. Jesus said, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons," in Matthew 12 and 28. This was connected with disruptions. A house divided against itself in Matthew 12 and 25. In other words, a house split in half falls over. A person split in half falls over. Legion said in the Word, "My name is Legion, for we are many." My name, we are many. This was a man who was many men. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? Being many people at the same time. Now you can see these horror movies that I'm out there where this woman had several different personalities. I don't think that is so strange. I think a lot of people go through that. One day they decide to be one way, and another day they decide to be another way, and there's several people in one. Have you ever found yourself doing that? I know. I used to go to a lot of movies when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like that. You know, before they got so perverted. And one day I'd be Clark Gable. And personally, I really don't care. And the next day I'd be Cagney, and the next day I'd be somebody else. Later on in my life, I thought, you know, what you were really doing was searching for some kind of identity. You didn't know who you were. That's why we have to have the mind of Christ so we know who we are. And so that greatest demon is division. In order to give us this single mind, he delivers us from all sense of fear and inferiority. You know how many people are walking around feeling inferior. In all wanting to run away from life. Have you ever wanted to run away? Maybe you're listening to me on the radio and you ran away from home. Maybe you're listening to this tape and you ran away from home. Well, you're not alone. Have you ever wanted to can it all and run away? Anybody in here? Am I the only one? Have you ever wanted to run away from the whole thing? Anybody in here, have you ever just wanted to say, just lay it down and say, I'm running away from the whole thing? I have. I'll probably feel that way tomorrow. I don't know. I won't do it by the grace of God. But have you ever felt that way? When you're on your job and things, the pressures are there and on and on and on and on. Oh, man, I just wish I could get out of it all. You ever felt that way, dear? Or you just wonder, oh, man, forget it. See, that's when we need the mind of Christ. So we don't have that feeling of always wanting to run away. Have that feeling of inferiority and indecision and nervousness. And, oh, God, I hate to face going to school tomorrow. I know, I have to get up and I have to do a verbal in front of the whole class. Oh. Huh? Ever had that happen? And then they decide they're not going to have it that day and you didn't sleep all night? Did you ever wish the school would burn down so you didn't have to? It's selfishness. Look how selfish you are. I wanted the school to burn down. That's terrible. I'm just kidding, kids. But it's true. We want to run away. We don't care what happens if we don't have to face that situation. Oh, I wish this day was over. Huh? When will it ever end? And so cleansing is something, I'm saying, beyond conversion. It takes a little bit of time. Conversion is getting you in the bathtub. Cleansing is scrubbing you down. And so after conversion, the battle starts. Oh, I remember I got saved. I had about 2 weeks where I just felt, oh, praise God, I'm saved. I feel so good. And I gave my testimony, and this happened, and I was delivered from this and delivered from that. And here's my great big garbage can. I was delivered from this. And people are always showing their garbage cans. And just look what I was delivered from. Oh, it was terrible. Huh? And after about 2 weeks, God says, all right, now we're going to go to work. Now, your conversion has to go beyond. Now we have to get you delivered. Now you have to go to school. And you know what? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the subconscious mind that is convincing, that is constraining, that is cleansing, that is coordinating, that is consecrating, that is comforting, and that is controlling. And you need all of those things to happen in your conversion, and it takes time, and it's painful. You know why? Because you have to die to yourself. Convincing. Well, he brings us to the point that we see our depths are out of control. After you got saved, and then you really saw how nasty you were, you didn't see that right away. You seen it after you thought you were top dog. Hey, a religious giant. Hey. I don't know how I could get much better. Man, this is the best I've ever been. I have never been this way before. Huh? And then the next month, 2 months, the next year, you find out just how nasty and perverted you really were. And then you don't feel like a Christian at all. So then you go over to somebody that's real legal and get over there and say, well, brother, what you must do, and they'll give you all these things you must do to get that feeling back again. No, it's God dealing with you. It's a struggle of being delivered. And don't be surprised when you see yourself. God said that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And that no one could be saved but by the grace of God. Now, if I know one thing, I know that for sure, ministering the years I have. See, when you really see yourself, are you hearing this? Isn't that frightening? Don't you try to cover it up? Don't you wonder and worry if people really know how you are? Give it over. It's just Jesus dealing with you. He's saying, this is the way it is. I'm going to show you that you really do need me, and there's no other way by which you may be saved. So just calm down and let me show you.
There you have it. That was episode 306. That was part one of Calmness, part one. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Maybe living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You may call me Terry, or you may
me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.